You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, January 10th, 2024. This is the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network. You can find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I am one of your hosts, the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around this room and introduce the cast of characters that we have on the show like I do every single week. We are back to a three-man band this week after All Out War here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast last week. It's back to the three of us. Hailing from the Purple Haze in Cloud 9, he is Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, welcome.
Thank you, my friends. It's wonderful to be here and wonderful to be with my two best pet wrestling pals in the world.
Absolutely. We have a blast doing this every week. We are today, this episode, which is episode 177 of this podcast as it is officially, I know we joked about it last week, but officially three years since Jason joined Rob and I on this. Speaking of Rob. From the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, with a new car, by the way. How's the car?
Oh, it's good. It's good. I had it for like a day now, and it's the same make and model as my old car. It turned out that was... Well, there's a funny story behind that because...
Settled on a Kia, right, Rob?
Yes.
Go ahead and tell the story, bud.
Okay, so I had a 2012 Kia Soul. I had it since 2012, and it had 145,000 miles on it. And the engine finally crapped out on me, and I had it towed to the place where I normally get it worked on, and they said it'd be $5,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so...
That's the end of that.
Yeah, I don't have $5,000 for an 11-year-old car with 145,000 miles on it. I don't.
Yeah, at that point, you're sinking more money into it than it's worth.
Yeah. So, I had rented the car for a couple of weeks, and I looked around to get a new one, and so I went to CarMax, and I picked one out, and it was a Jeep Renegade.
Oh, there you go.
So we go up there. My brother went up there with me, and he asked me just out of the blue, was like, "Did you check and see if it was stick shift or not?" And I was like, "Stick shift? Who makes that now? I'm like stick shift now. Of course not." And so lo and behold, there were two stick shifts on the entire lot. And wouldn't you know, one of the two was the Jeep Renegade.
Rob, dude, I'll defend you on that one, man. Like, I would think, unless you are walking in and saying, give me the cheapest car you have, unless you're saying that, I feel like they're going to warn you ahead of time that it's manual is a feature at that point. It's 2023, man.
Yes.
I'm with you on that one, Rob. If it like a manumatic or whatever, that all day we could do that. But a straight up stick shift in 2024 now without
I'm
telling
still
someone
like,
is goofy.
I'm still like mind blown that Rob's my age. You can't. Rob Senior never taught you to drive a stick shift.
No.
Also, was gonna make fun of you for that.
No. Well, you know why? Because he didn't think it was important anymore.
Okay.
So he needed to drive boats. He wasn't driving,
Yeah.
So like when he went with me to get my first car and he helped me learn how to drive and all that. He was like, stick shift's going out of style, you're not gonna need to worry about it. And he's like, you don't want to drive, you don't want, you know, drive stick shift anyway. So me being, you know, 18, 19 at the time, took his word for it. And, you know, so I never learned and never needed to. And it just so happened.
To be fair, it's your father was correct. And it's that mentality that made me say exactly what I just said. Like, stick shift is a feature at this point.
Yeah.
It's actually become a premium too, because stick shift cars somehow or another are more fucking expensive than an automatic. Like, what the hell happened?
Right. Like, the other way around. Some of the baseline like bare bones Camaros are automatic. And it's just like, I feel like,
oh, horseshit. You get a sports car, man, it's gotta be stick shift. Like, I gotta feel like fucking Vin Diesel in a sports car.
No. I could deal with the, because our Kia, because we also have a Kia. We should get a fucking sponsorship on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We're also a Kia family. But our we have the little Manumatic where you can slide it to drive and then slide it over and gear up, gear down.
Yeah.
So I like that. That's fine. Yeah. That's perfectly acceptable, Mr. Stick Shift. Get out of here.
I've had three in my life. I've had two pickup trucks, and it's funny because when I learned to drive a stick shift, I was very first time I ever drove one. My dad had old Ford and was one of the, you call them a dog leg shifter. It was like the really long shifter that went all the way to the floor. And
oh, yeah.
So I went to work with him one day, and it was like a Friday during the summer or something. And we were coming back, and where I live, he worked at Patrick Air Force Base, which is beachside. So he had to take the bridge, the causeway, to come back over to the inland side. And we got over on the bottom side of the Pineda Causeway, and old dude just pulls the truck over, says, all right, scoot over. What do you mean, scoot over? Scoot over, you're going to drive. Dad, I've never driven. Scoot over. So I scooted over into the driver's seat. And he's like, all right, you do this. This is the clutch. This is the gas. You shift it here. You shift. Brother, when I tell you I wore that son of a gun out, I was grinding gears and jerking. If you've never tried to drive a stick, it's, you know, at 14 years old and you're not coordinated to begin with, it's, you know, you clutch, and then as you're letting off the clutch, gas. But when you're in first gear, you can't hit the gas too quick because you'll stall out the engine. There was a lot of that in that first shot. So it terrified me, and I swore to myself I was never going to drive a stick. And then I was about 16 or 17, and a buddy of mine had a Nissan Stanza, and it was a stick shift. He drove it everywhere, man. He drove it like a champ. It was like a little race car for him. And he and I moved into our first apartment together. And long story short, he injured his wrist while we were moving a big sofa. And I had to rush him to the hospital so he could go get the wrist x-ray, because his hand was like cramped up like this. His Ooh. Hand was all jacked up. So I'm like, dude, I've only ever driven. He's like, just effing drive me to the hospital. So at that point in time, it was trial by fire. And I kind of remembered. And just from watching him for years, I figured it out. And then my first real vehicle that I bought on my own was a pickup truck. It was like a 89 Ford Ranger. And I intentionally bought stick shift. Then several years later, I bought another pickup truck and bought it in stick. And then Tina, when she and I first started dating, she had a little Mazda Miata that was stick shift. And I loved driving the hell out of that thing.
Well, fun. You know what? While we're all selling our stick shift stories, I guess I'll tell mine. I will brag. My dad taught me how to drive stick on his old Colt hatchback from the 1989, I think. I stalled maybe four times and then got the hang of it, and I've been able to drive stick since. And then, but I never owned a car that had to drive stick. I drove my dad's car that he had for a while, and then various buddies' cars and whatnot if I ever had to drive. I was able to drive it, including a few years ago when my buddy got way too schnookered, and I had not, at that point, not driven stick in a long, long time. And I drove from Plymouth to my house. I was well within the legal limit, by the way, this time anyway. And I drove, and I did not stall once. So I think I am a pretty good stick shift driver at this point.
All right. So as we talked about all that, Rob, what did you end up with? Finish your story.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So we had to go back and look at some other cars, and lo and behold, there was a 2015 Kia Soul, and the price was the same price as I was looking for. So I said, you know what? Why not? Because for me, like, leg room is a deciding factor for me, because like, some cars are just too cramped for me to get in. And
because like you're 6'4"?
No, I'm not. No, I'm 6'1".
Oh, okay. Some reason I thought you were 6. Maybe it's Ray that's 6'4".
Yeah, you're Ray. Ray's a big guy.
Ray's a tall dude. I know you and Jason are both taller than me. I'm the short one of the group.
I'm not that tall. I'm like 5'10". I don't know.
You might be a hair. You might be a hair taller than me then.
Rob, the soul was looking at you like, you know, you could not live with your own failure to drive stick shift. So where did that bring you? Exactly. Back to me.
Exactly. And, so I know like the Kia Soul has the right amount of leg room for me, because I had a Hyundai Sonata before that, and it was unbearable, man. Yeah.
Sonata would be cramped, I would imagine.
Yeah. And so, because I had that for like 6 or 7 years, and man, like, by the time I got rid of it, like, I was getting out of the car, like, you know, like, knees hurting and everything, and
having to unfold yourself.
Yeah. So, the Kia Soul has the right amount of leg room. So I just, you know what, rather than go sit in a bunch of cars and try to figure something out, like, I know that's good. So why not? And here we are. So different color. It's like a kind of metallic gray. My old Kia Soul is black. So
fancy.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to be in that new car market here probably in the next couple of months. I'm just waiting on a few things to clear. I told you guys I got my permanent crown put on Monday night. Yeah. And that son of a gun set me back $2,000. So what was going to be me buying a car this month is probably now looking somewhere between March and April at the soonest. So
this would be a bad time to do a WrestleMania check-in. Who's coming?
Any
headway that way, gentlemen?
I still have the hotel room for the weekend.
All right, Rob. Rob, we're going to get through it together, buddy. Listen, you need me there so that you can cry on my shoulder when they, like, Charlotte's on the, you know, at the front row or something, waving to everybody. And then I need you there so that I can cry on you when Cody or Rock or somebody beats Roman for the title. So I need you, buddy.
So, now I got to see how the money situation shakes out here.
Yeah. No, I'm just joshing with you, obviously.
Okay.
My money situation definitely said no. Between the even if it was a possibility, that crown just put me, you know, in a hole that's going to take me about a month to get out of. WrestleMania wasn't going to happen anyway, but
they're going to do the sphere at some point. They're going to do the sphere at some point, so we got to go to that.
If they do the sphere, I will rob a bank too. Yeah. And to the feds, I will not actually rob a bank. This is hyperbole. I will rob a bank to get to WrestleMania at the Sphere and hang out with you guys.
I don't think they would do it because it doesn't hold that many people, right?
No, it doesn't. I don't. They'll probably do a minor.
Oh, yeah. They'll do a show.
What is it? 10 to 15,000 that thing holds?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, I'm looking
at maybe it's 20, but it's not the 100K they want for WrestleMania. Like 80 to 100K they want for WrestleMania.
I mean, I imagine it's got to seat quite a few at least, because didn't you two open the thing?
Yeah, so they have like a seated capacity of 17,600, and has a standing room capacity of 20,000.
Seated can 17,000. If nothing else, you can do a really big Raw there or SmackDown.
You can do anything other than like
the big four.
Yeah, I mean, or you can just Survivor Series was not at a stadium, so.
No, Survivor Series was in Boston. Yeah, that's less than 20,000 people. So, I was there.
You can't do Mania there or the Rumble or
probably not the Rumble
or SummerSlam, you know, but
the ones they do stadiums.
Right. So, but yeah.
Baseball stadiums, baseball.
Yeah, you could do Money in the Bank there. You could do Survivor Series there. You could, you know, I mean,
Money in the Bank with graphics and shit on the walls would be actually pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be pretty awesome. WrestleMania 40, as we're on the road to WrestleMania here, WrestleMania 40 is definitely a no-go for me, unfortunately, much as I wanted to do it. And knowing that you guys are, well, Jason's definitely going. Rob is still kind of, in the air, but you know, just to meet up with you guys would have made it worth the trip. But you know, money just said something different this year. So I think I'm gonna set aside some funds for 41 and see what I can come up with. I'm also kicking myself because the Rumble is literally in my backyard in Tampa this year. I'm not gonna make it to that one either.
Well, I mean, the Rumble is one thing, and it's obviously right around the corner, so that's a no-go. But I mean, we should discuss next time they do a big four or a big pay-per-view in one of our neighborhoods. We should discuss meeting up.
Absolutely, and I've had that thought because I know you, because they come up to Boston quite a bit, don't they?
Yeah, we get a pay-per-view every year, if not a pay-per-view and an NXT show.
We get usually in Orlando, either a Raw or a SmackDown around the summertime. They've been hitting somewhere between June and August for the last 3 years. But the closest I've gotten to any premium live event in the last couple years that I'm aware of is the Rumble in Tampa this year.
Hmm. So, when was the last time we had a I think it might have been Extreme Rules 2017. Was the last premium live event we had around here
in DC though? How far are you from DC?
I'm about 35, 40 minutes from DC, and I'm about 15, 20 from Baltimore. They've had them at both places, you know. But they haven't been to either one for a premium live event in a while. I think the last one was Extreme Rules 2017 was the last one. I think that was in Baltimore. Yeah. And that was where
I guess I have to say I'm kind of lucky being over here in Boston. We, like I said, we get one a year.
I don't know. Another thought I had is, and this would give me an excuse to go play in New York for a couple days if they do another show at MSG. Yeah. Even if it's just an MSG show, it doesn't even have to be like a premium live event, to just go and watch a wrestling show in the Garden. Since, like an idiot, I didn't do it the year that I was in New York. Just because at the time I wasn't watching WWE very regularly, so it really didn't even cross my mind that I was in their backyard. And so
I can tell you from personal experience, it's very cool meeting Rob at MSG and then going to a wrestling show.
I would imagine it would be very cool to meet the both of you.
Yeah, that would be a fun time.
Hang out, do a wrestling show, go get some food, maybe have a drink. I'm down for that. Maybe. Man,
maybe.
No, we're definitely having a drink.
Ain't no maybe about it.
Definitely. We gotta keep an eye on that, man. That's definitely something we gotta do. So right.
Well, they didn't come to listen to us pal around and, you know, reach around and everybody everything on
God, the God, these guys have been circle jerking for 20 minutes here. What are they doing? What are we talking about tonight? We're talking about the same thing that everybody else is probably talking about. Jinder Mahal, the modern day Maharaja, and the Tony Khan. Once again, we were sitting here talking on Monday, because today's Wednesday, and we were talking about this week's episode, kind of doing a little, you know, text message creative huddle. And it's like, okay, there's not going to be much to talk about this week. Not much going on. We threw it in the universe, and Tony Khan answered like a fucking, I don't know, Elseworlds bat signal. He answers the call and gives us content. And completely melts down on Twitter because Tony took it on the chin over the weekend because the Jags are out of the playoffs. He took it from NFL on Fox. He took it from USA Network when they announced that Seth Rollins and Jinder Mahal were going to be having a match. So they called back to their NXT Championship match a decade ago, and you know USA Network made the. Made the comment, you know, well, what were the cage match ratings on that match, which was hilarious because we know how heavily Tony relies on cage match to promote his product. You know, the 300 people apparently that matter there. So Tony really took it on the chin for a couple of days, and he was crickets.
DJ, what? DJ, up to 800 people, please.
When?
No, I'm saying, what, didn't one of the votes have like 600 or 800 or something like that?
Yeah, there are a few.
Okay, we're talking about almost 1,000 people on your show that's watched by millions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed out on 999,909 of them.
There you go.
Sorry.
Oh, and, by the way, okay, so the match that Jinder Mahal and they had two matches on NXT. One of them got
the championship.
Yeah. So one of them. Okay, I think this was the championship match. I'm assuming. Oh no, because that was in.
I think it has a little trophy logo next to it if it's a championship match.
Okay, let's see.
Compelling tell radio, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes. So
I need like a cricket sound bite right now.
I know. So, but so Tony goes on while Rob's looking up the cage.
The Deacon of Data is daddying.
So Tony decides to go on this epic rant of how he was comparing Jinder Mahal, a perpetual loser, according to him, who hasn't won a match all year. You know, gets celebrated for winning it, for getting a championship match. Meanwhile, apparently, I have not even seen this part yet. I hand on my mother's grave. Apparently, he thinks some people are getting bent out of shape that Hook has a 28-and-something record, called out the champion, and is now getting a championship match. So if that's how it happened, how Tony is saying it, fine. I don't understand why people are getting mad about that.
First in the circles that I follow, hold on, Rob, hang on. Just a sec. Hold on to your data. In the circles that I follow a lot of people that get the jokes off about Tony Khan and AEW. I do. So I see people shitting on AEW all day long on the app formerly known as Twitter. Not one time did I see anyone that I follow have a negative thing to say about Hook calling a shot and challenging Taz for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. And I'm gonna let Rob finish his thought and give us the data, and then I've got some thoughts about that.
DJ, I just want you to know he did not challenge Taz.
Jesus. Championship. Samoa Joe. He
challenged
Samoa. You guys know I'm old and I'm tired, right? And I work with fucking children.
Okay, Taz is his father.
That's right. Taz is his father. Samoa Joe is the AEW World Champion. Thank you, Jason.
That's right. You're okay, welcome.
So, check this out. All right. This is...
So, Tony gets triggered. Tony gets triggered because, you know, the USA Network Twitter, mind you, this is not WWE on USA. This is not WWE on Fox. This is not, you know, whatever the backstage, WWE backstage Twitter handle was.
Right.
This is a USA Network. So this guy is just, he's not an intern because he's running the USA Network. So he's a social media manager. Let's call it what it is, probably. And so he's having a little fun. And Tony gets this hot and bothered about it to fire off a million tweets about how, and then what the biggest one was how Jinder Mahal got this title shot, and you know, all this off a cage match rating, which, by the way, Rob, what was the cage match rating for the
cage match rating
NXT
is,
championship match?
6.56 out of 10. So 6.5 out of 10. Now guess how many votes the match got.
274. No.
68.
Eight.
No.
8.
Go.
8.
Oh!
8. 8. Oh, so, God. The deacon of data bringing the facts.
So, 8. 8.
And mind you, everyone, we need to go back. This is the data that Tony Khan
lives and dies by,
and why he points to it and says, this is why you should watch my wrestling show.
Yes, because, yes, exactly.
Because the bubble inside the bubble inside a very, very small bubble gave this match 8.3 out of 10. Shut the fuck up.
And then my favorite part of this whole exchange with Jinder Mahal quote tweeted Tony and said, who TF is Hook? And that tweet now has at least double the, it must be double by now, the engagement that Tony's tweet had in half the time.
Oh, and I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I picked the wrong match because they had two matches. I'm getting
the shit out of you.
But this is even better though.
No,
this,
okay, oh, sorry. No.
So, all right.
What was the rating?
6.27.
How many votes?
32.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph.
Oh my God.
32 people. So
I had more people in my fifth grade classroom, bro.
So between the so that's 40 votes total for two matches that they had.
Jesus.
And this is the data that Tony is pointing to and saying, see? See, we're good.
I mean, okay. Now,
obviously, his matches have way more votes because way more people vote on them. But yeah. Again, we're talking like the, Rob, what was it again that had the most votes that you saw of any match that you've ever looked for on Cage Side?
Okay. There were some with 800 and 900. And then somebody posted like a top 10 from 2023. And there were some matches that had like 1,000 votes.
Okay.
So,
okay.
1,000 votes is basically.
That's pretty okay. But it's also 1,000 hardcore wrestling nerds.
So even if it's a pay-per-view, if it's an AEW pay-per-view where they do like 120,000 buys, that's 1,000 people out of 120,000.
1%.
That's 1%.
1% and probably 75%. 35% of those are Tony Khan burner accounts, and the rest of them are Dave Meltzer burner accounts.
Work on your football team. Also, work on your football team. Also, work on your wrestling company.
The Jags do that suck.
For a little while. God. Because all three of them are kind of in the mud right now. I'm not sure on Fulham. Last I knew, a couple of months ago, they were in the mud. So I assume things don't change because Tony Khan's in charge and things don't change. And he's in charge from everything I've seen.
Let's pull this back a minute and talk about, Hook versus AEW World Heavyweight Champion Samoa Joe, not to be confused with Taz, TJ. Yeah. Let's pretend that people out there were actually dumping on this. Why? And I'll defend AEW here. Hook is a fine wrestler. And stuff like this is not uncommon in the wrestling industry where a fighting champion gives a young up-and-comer a title shot. This is literally the premise behind Rocky One.
DJ, I don't even want to prop this up with a straw man to say this is why you would be mad, because no one's fucking mad.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because if there are people listening.
But hold on. There's no point in playing devil's advocate, because part of our whole thing here is, Tony, you're making this up. You're not even listening at this point. You're not even listening to your fans or your haters. Because again, DJ and I both follow a large swath, and the people in the comments of that tweet I was going through, give me a good reason why Hook shouldn't get this title shot. I still have not found one.
There is zero reason why Hook shouldn't get a title shot.
Hook fucking rules.
Hook's awesome, and it'll probably be a good fucking match.
He's literally like, hey, what if the guy from Drive could be a fucking wrestler? The guy who just doesn't stay shit, looks awesome, is cool at all times, and beats the shit out of people.
Right.
Sign me up. Let's go.
Like you said, this is literally the plot to Rocky One. A guy, Hook's not a bum fighting in bum fights, in gymnasiums. But still, he's a compared to Samoa Joe, he's a literal unknown who is getting an opportunity at the biggest prize in their game. This is an easy sell to people. Samoa Joe is giving a young up-and-coming wrestler an opportunity. It's good. It's historically wrestling. But when we go to the other side of the street, people are questioning, and Tony Khan, again, trying to prove a point that nobody ever even, like Jason's saying, nobody ever even argued, questioning why Jinder Mahal is getting a title shot. One, Jinder Mahal's been with the fucking company for 10 years. He's probably a 15 to 20 year veteran at this point. And he's a former world heavyweight fucking champion. Okay?
And let's stress again, in the last couple of years of universal titles and dual champions and whatnot, the belt, the WWE World Championship, like the grandest prize in wrestling. So the guy, I had my issues with Jinder's run, but I'll tell you, DJ will get to that in a minute, but I'll tell you one thing. I got worked, man. It happened. Yeah. That's how good he is.
We'll talk about that in a minute, because I do want to talk a little bit about Jinder's run, because people are just egregiously wrong about his run, and I'm gonna let, because I know Rob's been a little silent on this entire bit here. Rob, you got any thoughts on like the Tony Khan meltdown?
I think he got triggered when the USA Network guy said did the cage match thing.
Yeah,
I think that triggered him because he goes on and on about cage match, and he gets ridiculed for it because he sounds like an idiot. I'm sorry. And like I'm saying, look, I occasionally go on Cage Match and do vote on matches and rate matches, right? And it's not something that, I mean, you should not be judging, trust me, you should not be judging the quality of your wrestling program by what people say on Cage Match, because some of the comments are just Looney Tunes. You will see two people say the exact opposite things about the same match back to back. Some people will literally copy and paste a match review from another website in the comment section. There are biases. Like, I mean, when you see, like, there are certain wrestlers whose matches get rated higher all the time. And then there are certain wrestlers whose matches get low grades from people all the time.
We'll just call it Wrestling Twitter Extended.
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much.
It's a bubble inside the IWC is what it is.
And
it is a decent instrument among your instrument panel. It is not what you should be building your wrestling company around.
No, not at all. Because, I mean, I'm sorry.
It is one instrument on your 8-instrument panel.
And basically, okay, the only use it has as far as the ratings is... If people normally rate your show highly, and then they don't, and they say this one sucked, you know, then that's worth paying attention to because those are your people.
Probably right.
And that's pretty much it. You know, like if the people who normally give you high grades for this one, for whatever reason, for this show or this match or whatever, don't, then okay, that's worth paying attention to because those are people who are in the tank for you. And if they didn't even like what you did, then yeah, okay.
If I came on here and be like, guys, that was one of the worst NXTs I've seen in forever. If I was Shawn Michaels, I'd be like, oh, shit, I just lost one of my fanboys. So what happened?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's really it. I mean, as far as the ratings. Now, for information, I've said it before, it is an outstanding place to go. For information, if you want to know what match on. You know what card from 10 years ago and blah blah blah, right? I mean, you know, it's a great resource for that
all the time.
I use it for that all the time. But
I love nerdy shit like that because they have everything on there. It's crazy. They have live events from 1950, whatever. Insane.
Yeah. But
a lot of the stuff is sourced. They have a copy of the program if they can't, like it's bonkers. Yeah. I don't want anything we're saying to be against the people of Cage Side, because my God, that is awesome stuff for us wrestling nerds.
Yes, and it is
not how you should run your wrestling program that's on cable television. Again, not the only thing you should look at.
No.
Yeah.
It's just, but I think he got triggered by that because he's been made fun of for that, you know. And then there's a certain retired wrestling manager who loves taking shots at him, who gets real extra loud about that in particular.
Yeah. The hilarity in the whole thing is that after like he got done, you know, going back and forth there, then he starts arguing with Eric Bischoff. Because then Bischoff chimes in, and now he's going tit for tat with Bischoff, and he's, you know, of course, all the sycophants and the tip writers have to jump in and remind Bischoff that he's the one that put WCW out of business, which there's...
No, he isn't. Vince McMahon is.
Depending on what version of the story you're believing Vince McMahon is, but realistically, and a lot of people don't want to hear this part because they want to believe the narrative... The Time Warner merger put WCW out of business because ultimately, even if WCW was still doing fairly well, they didn't want wrestling on their TV. They were going to sell it off either way. I firmly believe that in my heart. The fact that they were taking a trouncing from WWE at the time in the ratings probably accelerated the business. And, you know, obviously, you know, Eric Bischoff has his part to play in that. But I firmly believe that if World Championship Wrestling, if Time Warner had decided to keep World Championship Wrestling and given Eric Bischoff another chance, we might be having a very different conversation about how the Monday Night Wars went.
Well, here's another thing. He failed. He lost WCW. The WCW went under, WWE won. He's also the only guy who's ever beat Vince.
And he went head-to-head. Monday night, head-to-head competition, and whipped their asses for 83 weeks.
Yes.
Right.
And then was competitive for another year after. It wasn't like the day, it wasn't like 83 weeks ended and then WCW stopped being competitive. You know, it was 83 weeks and then they stopped winning.
I don't even remember like a sitcom or that was on Mondays or anything like that. Like the only real, like a couple year period where there was a sitcom that ruled Monday nights or something like that. Literally, their only competition aside from WCW has been the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's it.
So, yes, listen to the guy who beat them for, yes, they've been on TV forever, 83 weeks more than anyone else.
And look, Eric is the first one to admit his own mistakes from that time.
That's the other thing, is he will fall on every, and nowadays, with the gift of hindsight, but even still, he could say, no, I wanted to do it this way, and I still feel it was right, and it just didn't go wrong, perfect for us, or whatever. No, we'll just point it and be like, yeah, we hired this guy. It was stupid. We did this storyline. That was dumb. We did this. I didn't even want to do it. I shouldn't have done it. I did it. I thought this was going to save the company. Didn't. He doesn't care anymore, man.
Well, it's because it's fucking 20 years in the past.
Right. He has no ego about it. That's what I mean. He doesn't care.
Right.
He doesn't seem to anyway.
Yeah, and he'll be the first one, because he even admits, like, when he got hired to be the producer or whatever for SmackDown, he admits that he got there, and after a couple of weeks, he was like, nah, this ain't it, man.
Yeah, he said, this is not what I want to do. I can't do this, and he was fine with being let go. He's not bitter about it at all.
No, he's like, after a few weeks, I knew this wasn't, this wasn't it.
Yeah, it wasn't this thing, man.
Yeah, so... Okay. I don't even know. I don't want to pick this whole thing apart too long because I don't want to go too long on this. But I just, let me be very clear to the people who create this narrative, after, years of everybody wanting WWE to go under, now all of a sudden everybody's like, why would you want AEW to fold? Let me be very clear. Nobody on this show wants AEW to fold. I certainly don't. I want there to be an alternative for people to go to work. I don't want the people that are there to be put out of work, because I know a lot of those people will go back to not making any money at all. Some of them will land very comfortably elsewhere. Most of them will not. And as a whole, there are people there that I care about. There are wrestlers there that I want to see and see them remain gainfully employed. Their current owner has got to go. He is doing that talent, I've said this before, he is doing that talent such a disservice by the way he behaves on social media that it's not sustainable. Like, at some point, something's got to give. Either the talent has got to corner him, or someone has got to sit him down and say, look, you are hurting this brand. Because I have, again, as we talk about our online engagements and our timelines, and, I've managed to streamline my timeline down to blocking out most of the toxicity. I still have a few people that watched, like, they were ride or die for AEW. Like, and, but they weren't like the annoying asshole fans that jump up and they're, you know, anti-WWE and every other comment. They like both shows. And at first they were hyped for AEW, but even now they're looking at it and they can't deny Tony is the problem. And it just, he just does not understand, one, how to book a good wrestling show. He's great at putting quote-unquote fan dream matches together. And Tony's had some great matches on AEW programming. But as far as putting together a program as a whole, I just, he's not cut out for it. And then the criticism is the biggest key element here. He cannot handle it. Like, you would never catch Vince McMahon, or hell, at this point, Shawn Michaels or Triple H on Twitter pissing and moaning because somebody made a comment that was a backhanded joke at something that they did. You know, it's that they just ignore it and move on, man. You have a company to run, and you cannot run that company based on what someone said on Twitter. Trust me, Twitter is not paying your bills. Okay? No. The app formerly known as Twitter, Tony, is not paying your bills. That crowd is not – there might be a few of them that are buying T-shirts, but the ones you need to be worrying about are the ones that paid to show up, the ones that keep tuning in weekly and want to see a good wrestling show, and they don't want to hear about you melting down online, insulting the other company, insulting other workers, because that's a piss-poor look. If you're insulting workers, who's going to want to come work for you?
Because, I mean, and that's – see, that's what really upset me, because Jinder Mahal is a guy – You don't ever hear anything negative about that guy from anybody.
Nope.
Okay. I mean, there are no negative stories. There are no, you know, there's nothing, you know, you never hear anything bad about him from anybody.
Right.
Okay. You don't even hear any complaints. You don't even hear any stories about him being, you know, competitive with so-and-so, and maybe he doesn't like that guy and the guy doesn't like him. You don't even hear stuff like that.
And,
right. Cause,
and this
cause,
is going back to NXT.
Yeah.
Right.
Cause
he's been here forever, guys. If there was something that happened, we would probably have heard about it.
Yeah. And cause there are people who, you know, are perfectly nice enough people, but they don't get along with each other cause they're, you know, they're competing for the same stuff or whatever. Right. And you don't even hear that about him.
No, he comes to work. He does his job. He gets fucking paid.
Yeah, and so you don't, like, and, you know, he's one of those people, he got fired. And
right.
He was out of the business. He was selling real estate for a while, and then he gave it another go, and he went over to India, and he worked with Kali over there, and he did that, and that was one of the things that got him rehired, basically.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah. You know, he got fired. He went overseas because he's from Canada, actually.
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Yeah, but
that was the greatest part about him and the gimmick with the Bollywood boys when he was world champion is they're all from Canada.
Right. But you know, so he went back over. He went to India and he worked over there, and he worked his way back in. And he is exactly the kind of person that, whether you're a fan or you're a worker, he is exactly the kind of person you should respect and admire, even, right? I mean, that guy has done.
Honestly, you should celebrate the world championship run he got.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the time when people talk about being underutilized or this or that and the other, people are exaggerating, or it's usually somebody who actually has a bunch of accolades and they just want some more. Again, he got fired. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so he really did work his way.
If you want to cry for Drew McIntyre, well.
Yeah. I mean. There is not a bad thing you can say about that guy.
I'm going to need Heath Slater back so we can have one three-man band reunion before it's all said and done. I need that in my life.
Yeah, even if it's just a rumble spot. Just
a rumble spot, and they can do the little Spider-Man point thing at each other, and then all three just attack each other would be incredible.
Yeah, and but for me, it's because, I mean, I think I've told the story before. I mean, the weekend he won the world title, he was on Talk with Jericho, and I listened to that, the whole thing, and he told his whole story, and it was, you could not come out of hearing him tell his whole story and not root for the guy after hearing that. And so for Tony to take a shot at him of all people, I mean, to get upset because he got, because he's getting booked in a world title match that he's not going to win.
Right.
I mean, he might now. That'd be a great rib if Jinder actually won.
Well, that's the thing. I'm like, I don't know. It would be awesome if they pulled the trigger. Even if they okie-doked it next week and
Seth is my boy. Like, I ride or die with Seth Rollins. Seth is TJ's
favorite wrestler. Favorite current wrestler, I'll say. Maybe not all time, but favorite current wrestler with a bullet.
I would be totally okay if Jinder Mahal beat Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. That would just pop me, honestly.
Jinder debut a new finisher, take Seth down. Let's have the modern day Maharaja get one last run.
And so just, you know, I really got upset at Tony over that.
Yeah,
and
it was unnecessary.
And
it's like the exact wrong guy to pick.
Yeah. I mean, like right, exactly. I mean, of all the people, right? I mean, come on.
Did Tony sign his own NDA on talking about Punk?
And unfortunately, ready, now you have viral tweet with a even more viral tweet with Jinder quote tweeting Tony's tweet. You know what the second most quote tweeted tweet is when you look at that, which most people might when they look at Jinder's quote, is, well, you've got a guy with sexual assault allegations, you know, meaning Jericho, obviously.
Yeah.
Who, you know, you haven't said boo about or questioned or blah, blah, blah. So good job. All press is good press, right, Tony?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, yeah, man.
It's ridiculous. And that company, he needs to just sell it to someone who gives a damn. Not that Tony doesn't give a damn about pro wrestling. He's not cut out for it. Put it in the hands of, get the hell off of social media, provide the money, and let somebody run it for you. Get your hands off of all of it, Tony. That's it. That's really all I can say about the whole thing at this point.
Maybe you could strike a, I'm totally just spitballing here, strike a deal with Warner. Maybe they want part of it, and then they get creative control, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. If you ever listen to this podcast, Tony, I want 1% of that deal.
Since I'm putting Jinder in the title, he just might.
I mean, like, come on, man. Let's.
Yeah.
I mean, pick somebody else. I mean,
or just stop mentioning the competition. Just stop.
That too.
Live in a bubble, man. Live in your own little island and worry about your own island. Quit worrying about the continent.
You're not taking on down the evil empire. You're just not.
It's not happening. It's okay. In your own fantasy world, and it's fine, but.
You're just alienating people like the three of us who would be perfectly happy to watch all three if you weren't such assholes about it.
Yeah.
Or both, all three NXT.
It's stuff like this that has me rooting for TNA. Like, hard for TNA to pull ahead of them and be the number two wrestling program in North America. Like, really pulling for them at this point.
That would be a hilarious rip.
Speaking of which, congratulations, because they made an announcement today that they open up some more seats for Saturday's pay-per-view.
I saw that. That's awesome for them. Is that's
Hard to Kill.
Hard to Kill. Is that one of the big ones or one of their minor ones?
It's kind of it was not one of their, like, one or two biggest ones. It was kind of like their third or fourth biggest one.
Is it a $10 or a $40, I guess, is what I'm asking.
It's a full price one, yeah.
It's a full price one? Okay, my cheap ass. I may skip the full price one. I hate to be like that, but I can't be paying $40 for a premium live event in 2024. It's just not happening.
The man just dropped $2,000 for a crown.
That's right. I just got a crown put in. That's I'm $2,000 in the hole right now.
He's tapped out.
Very... Well, maybe the farewell match for Trinity.
Yeah, if she's definitely coming back.
Yeah.
But Let's move on. We got some other stuff I want to talk about here. Okay. We're going to get back into TNA in just a minute. First, I want to invite everyone to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can peruse, browse, look at, if you will, T-shirts from all your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcasts, including this very podcast, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go check those out. Go pick one up. The starting artists on this show will thank you if you pick one of ours up. Your body will thank you if you pick it up in soft style for just a couple bucks more. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Go pick one up now. But yeah, like we were saying, man, it looks like Trinity may be heading back to the Stanford territory, which is pretty exciting. I'm very excited about that.
So I early, crazy prediction. It would be really cool if she won the Rumble using a crazy escape. And that would be a wonderful way for her to re-debut. That popped.
I always go back to her pop at that big pop she got at the Rumble that one time. And then they did nothing with it. Like, I was so frustrated by that because I had goosebumps. Like, she came out, she looked amazing, the crowd lost their minds, and then 3 months later, we were back to, witness protection program. I'm like, what are we doing? She came back to this incredible moment, and you guys did nothing to capitalize on it. I hope if she does come back, they have a plan for her.
Yeah.
Yes. We've been over that.
It was like a week or two we talked about that. So, but yeah, I just wanted to put that over. We'll see what happens there with that premium live event with TNA. And this is their official launch of the rebrand, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And so they are promising a big debut also.
So, I wonder if that's Hammerstone. Isn't Hammerstone wrestling that show?
He's doing one of those shows. Announced. Yeah. So, but I would just like just to say if this is it for Trinity and Impact/TNA, she had a really good run there. Hats off to her for going there, and hats off to Scott D'Amore for not, wasting any time.
Nope.
And he didn't have her, wrestling in a bunch of wacky tag team matches for 3 months. He knew who he had to work with, and he knew what he had, and he completely maxed out what to do with her there. And good on everybody involved. And if she is coming back, then welcome back. And honestly, thanks for a good run over there in TNA. It was a good run, and
yeah,
it's exactly what you want to do if you are in between WWE stints, or if you are gone from WWE and not coming back, that's exactly the kind of thing you want to put together.
Yeah. All right. So I want to talk for a couple minutes here about some NXT. I went to an NXT house show over the weekend and kind of want to talk to you guys a little bit about that and give you the results of the matches that were there. And just a couple of things that for me really stood out. This show came from the Melbourne Auditorium in Melbourne, Florida, which is luckily for me about a 10 to 15 minute drive away, depending on traffic. These little NXT shows, I put them over every single time I go to one. They're a lot of fun. For 10 to 12 bucks for general tickets, 20, I think it's like 22 for ringside, and 2.5, almost 3 hours worth of quality wrestling. It's worth every penny to go, man. And I really wish outside, because I don't really think they travel much outside of Florida. I know they've got several stops in the Florida loop. I wish people outside of Florida could see these little NXT shows because they're a lot of fun. This one opened up. We had Axiom and Nathan Frazier in a match against Hank and Tank. It was a fun little match here because it was kind of babyface versus babyface. And, Hank and Tank have come out, a couple times here, got a little bit more of a pop. They're starting to make a little bit of a name for themselves. Axiom and Nathan Frazier won this one in a fun little match. It wasn't anything crazy. I've seen Axiom have better matches. He's a great singles competitor. You lose some of the punch when you team him up with somebody like Nathan Frazier, because you're just kind of taking away from the overall Axiom experience, but all in all, a fun match. Next match up was pretty cool because we had a Drew Gulak sighting. We had a Drew Gulak sighting on this one. It was the No Quarter Catch crew. Damon Kemp and Miles Bourne with Drew Gulak at ringside defeated Von Wagner and Bo Morris. An interesting thing about this, we've talked about Von Wagner on this show, and it hasn't always been flattering, to be polite. But I got to say, one, he was over like $1 million in Melbourne, Florida, and the kid looked good. Like, he's been putting in the work, not only in the gym, but in the ring. He looked better Saturday night than I've ever seen him look. Like, his spots all looked crisp. His timing was good. The way he worked with the crowd, and the crowd was into him, man. The crowd was digging him. So maybe they've turned a corner with him.
Hope so.
Moving on from that match, interestingly enough, this match ended, and Drew Gulak started to cut a little bit of a promo, and he said something along the lines of, nobody wants to mess with these guys, you know, with the No Quarter Catch crew, unless they're crazy. All of a sudden, this, you know, audio hits. Did someone say crazy? And a freshly, I guess they're trying out a babyface, Joe Gacy, came out and had an impromptu match with Drew Gulak. And Gacy won that one. But it was interesting seeing them try to do this crazy gimmick with Joe Gacy as a babyface. And house show crowds are hard to gauge versus TV crowds as to what people are going to buy into, because house show crowds have been into Joe Gacy every time I've ever seen him. And they were super into him on Saturday night. I know I've said I don't hear a couple times, I don't get it with Joe Gacy. Like, he's a great in-ring worker, but the cult leader schism thing wasn't working for me. I'm not, like, I feel like there's something there that the guy's reaching for as a character, and for me, it's just not hitting. I hope they figure it out, because I think the guy's an incredible worker. But yeah, he was, they were into it in Melbourne. Nice. Next up, and boy, as our good friend Jay would say, pow down here. It was Lola Vice with Electra Lopez defeated Tatum Paxley. Lola looked pretty good. You can tell she's been putting in the work, because this was a bit more of a, what I like to call, a student match. Still developing, still working, ironing out the kinks. But all in all, it was a fun show. Best part about that is we're sitting there, and if you know who Lola Vice is, you know where I'm going with this. she got a hell of a swing on the back porch, gentlemen. And the best part was, Tina was sitting next to me. Tina's like, damn, she's curvy. I'm like, yes, she is. Yes, she is. Well, there was a lady behind us that kept commenting on Lola Vice's backside. She's like, damn, that is the perfect ass. That is the most perfect ass I've ever seen. She's like, I want that ass. And she was doing this behind us the whole match. She's talking to her friend, and she's like, look at her ass. And I'm like, would you shut up about her ass? But all in all, it was a fun match. Just listen to this nutball behind me just talk about her backside was absolutely hilarious. So at the mid-show intermission, they usually do like a sub-main event. The sub-main event was Trick Williams, who just was insanely over, versus Ridge Holland. And it was interesting here, because Trick looked incredible. Like, and Tina and I were talking about this on the way home. One of the things I like about these NXT shows is watching the maturation and the growth of some of these people. Because when we first started going, Trick Williams was basically the mouthpiece and the outside the ring guy for Carmelo. And as every time we've gone, they've given Trick a little more to do and a little more to do. And each time we go, Trick has been a little bit more involved. First, it was getting in and doing a spot in the middle of a Melo match. Then it was in a couple of tag team matches. Then it was in like a segment. And then finally, now he's working his own singles matches and holding his own. Like, he really did hold his own in there with Ridge Holland. The only thing with this match, and this leads me again to believe, you know, we're leaning more into the Ridge is, quote unquote, air quotes here, big air quotes, known for hurting people. The finish was as followed. Ridge went for a move, trick ducked, and we had a ref bump. Okay, not uncommon. We see ref bumps all the time. But they disqualified Ridge Holland for hitting the ref. So it's a rather odd finish. You know, with all the ref bumps we've seen and the match continues, we just get another ref. This one, they disqualified Ridge, because, and it was very plainly unintentional. It wasn't like he went over and put hands on the referee. So that's the only complaint I could have of that match, was the finish was a little wonky, but the match itself was very, very good. I'm sorry, Jason?
I was just saying excellent.
Yeah, no. So we had a little intermission, went over, took a pee break, checked out the merch table, came back. First match back was returning Nikita Lyons versus Jada Parker, which was fine. Again, it was another student match. We're still, you know, working out some of the kinks with some of these girls. I don't give them, you know, I've never seen Jada Parker wrestle. I've seen her on TV. Haven't seen her wrestle. Nikita Lyons obviously has been on the shelf for several months with a knee injury. So, you know, obviously there's going to be ring rust, shaking it off. Both girls looked fine. No complaints there. Next up was Brooks Jensen in his Magnum TA cosplay against Javier Bernal. Jensen defeated Bernal in a fine match. And what was really fun about this one is, Rob, you would have appreciated it because it really felt like an old school AWA wrestling match. Like, it really felt like that. You would have appreciated this one. Next up was Chase U, which was actually JC Jane, Thea Hale, and Riley Osborne against Metaphor. We had Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson, Ora Menzo. It was a mixed six-person tag team match, and man, it cooked. I'm going to be honest with you. And my two favorite, like, I've seen Riley Osborne before. He's really, really good. I've seen Jakara. She's really good. Well, getting to see Lash Legend back in the ring up close, live, is just, it's a sight. And I don't mean that just because I think she's hot. I just think they've got something with her now that they've gotten her there. They've definitely gotten something. And the two bright spots of the night were her and Thea Hale. And again, Thea and Lash are, like I talked earlier about Trick, these are two that I've watched progress over the last 2 years as we've been going to these shows every time they come. Thea Hale, again, starting off as a mouthpiece, running around with that little megaphone thing with Chase U and just rah, rah, rah. And Lash Legend coming out and just kind of doing little side stuff or a segment here or a battle royal there, to go out and actually have matches and see them where they are now versus where they were the first time I saw them has been a fun progression. You know, it's been a fun part of these NXT shows. And the main event was the NXT Tag Team title match, the family, Tony D'Angelo and Stax Lorenzo, with Adriana Rizzo over Out the Mud with, and now, what the heck's his name? Scripps wasn't with them for whatever reason. This was a good match. Like, this, there was some really, really good stuff going on here. I like Out the Mud. I've seen them three or four times now. I think they're a couple of hosses. And the family was fun. Tony D was so over. Stax is over. It was just a good time. So while we're on the subject, and we've got a little bit of time left, how do we feel about our new North American champion? This is Rob's first real exposure to Jay, and I have been talking about Oba for a while. Rob?
The moon.
He
rocket
me.
That boy to the moon.
Because, I mean, he's a big dude, but he's got energy, right? Because, you know, some big guys, they just kind of lumber around. You know, it's like, oh, I'm a big guy, okay. You know, no, he has some real fire and some real energy to him. And, you know, our buddy Jay said that he sold stuff properly, which, you know, that's, you know, when you're in that big, you shouldn't be falling down all the time.
Right. It's what they call it is, and it's actually Stone Cold made this criticism of Roman early on. When you're a guy that big, you don't die on somebody. That's what they call dying. And you're overselling for somebody who's 50 pounds, 100 pounds lighter than you. You don't do that. You're a big guy. Make them take it from you.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing.
And look, at one point they had to tell the 14-time women's champion not to give people so much. Okay.
Right. Right.
And they told her she was giving people too much that were smaller than her. So he was, so you know, he does the right, he sells the right way. He does big man stuff. You know, he's not doing cartwheels and backflips. And you know, I love what he's
his explosiveness. It's like unto, it's not, he doesn't display it in the exact same way, but it's like unto Brock or Titus. Like these guys who just, for their size, they have just pop in everything they do.
Yeah. And, look, I came out of there wanting to, you know, like, look, give him a rumble spot, man. Shoot. Just you know, let him and, you know, him and Otis run into each other a couple of times, or him and Braun or whoever, right?
Shake the ring.
Yeah.
We are back into the Haas. We are in the Haas era now.
Yeah, and you know, and I'm a sizist. I admit it, you know, I am. You know, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm not saying get rid of all the little people, but you know, I'd much rather watch, you know, a couple of big people go at it. I mean,
yeah.
And look, I mean, you need guys like him, because, you know, you got 10, 20, maybe, you know, 30 people sometimes who are learning to roll around and put holds on each other and all that stuff. You need guys like him to just show up and just wreck things and just, you know, and throw people all over the ring and you know, and all that type of stuff.
May be a little early, because I think what somebody was telling us, he's only actually 4 televised matches deep into this. Like, did I read that right?
While you guys talk,
yeah.
Do what I do.
I'm going to make a bold prediction just in what I've seen presented to me in the last few weeks with him. There are some guys in NXT right now who have been told, hey, you're the guy. And they may think, hey, I'm sitting pretty at the front of the line. You better start looking over your shoulder, because this kid's got the look. He's damn sure got the raw potential, and he can talk. Like, he has a presence. He's 22 friggin' years old, and he's this, like, there already.
Like, he's standing in the ring. Like, he knows how to stand in the ring.
Yeah. It's incredible to watch. I get so excited when I see what might be the next big thing right there blossoming right in front of us. And I see it with this kid. So, yeah, there's some people that better step their game up and had better start looking over their shoulder, because the object in the rearview mirror is closer than it appears.
Dude, even if he ends up being the 1A, 1C to whatever the big men end up being in a couple years, we're sitting pretty.
Yep, I'm looking forward. You know, obviously let him stay in NXT. Don't send him up to the main roster if he's not ready, just because right now people are high on him.
I think it's a mindless mandate that we always let him cook.
Yep. Always, that's absolutely a mindless mandate. Let them cook. This kid's 22 years old. Let him cook and let the field thin out a little bit, and then send him up to the main roster and let him just wreck the joint. Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, so it looks like
let him wreck the joint in NXT for a couple of years. He's 22 years old.
Yes, because you know, when we talked about that a while back, you know, a whole lot of people there did 2 or 3 years in NXT, and you know, the Horsewomen were there 2 or 3 years. Big E was there 2 or 3 years. You know,
I'll say it. People were calling for Bron Breakker to be called up over a year ago, and we said on this podcast, no, let him stay there. Him staying there has done wonders for Bron Breakker. Like, he's much better now than he was 12 months ago.
Yeah. And so this is you're right, this was his 4th match on television, and that was his 21st match total.
Okay.
Wow.
So
he's been making the circuit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was, unfortunately, we didn't see him Saturday night. I was kind of hoping he'd be there, but yeah, it is what it is.
Well, I guess they didn't want him getting hurt on the house show if he was, you know.
Yeah. He had a big night coming Tuesday night. We can't risk him getting hurt. I get it.
Yeah. But, yeah, but you know, I'm looking forward to that guy and see what he can do. And just one note, somebody made like a kind of a collage of, because the NXT North American Championship is kind of become unofficially known as like the black man's NXT championship. Yeah. Because, you know, there have been like eight of them like now.
Yeah, and somebody got scrubbed from most of the graphics I saw.
Yeah, yeah, somebody made nice eyes of all the black men who've been the NXT North American champion.
I saw, except for one.
Except for one who's
not. Did you guys see the one who used Vacant? They used Vacant's profile picture.
Oh no, I didn't see that one. But yeah, Patrick, you could, you blew it there, guy.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not even going to get started on that dude because he's tried to make his way out there. We're not even going down that road.
I don't want to get into all that, but just, you know, you could have been there too, but you blew it. But anyway, but congratulations, Nova.
It's in the hands of another deserving person. So
yes. Yep. So I'm looking forward to seeing
who can carry on that lineage.
Yeah. And Oba's already good with me because he beat Dragon Lee for it.
See,
I gotta get the jokes off.
I know, because when it happened, I immediately thought of what we were going to say about it.
Dragon, former.
You beat Dragon Lee, DJ's automatically a fan.
Now the former NXT champion.
Oh, man.
Dragon, just a luchador, according to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, Lee.
Just a guy in a mask. He's just a guy,
in a mask. You're just a freak in a mask. Now it's a bit. Now we just have to bury him.
Yeah, sorry, Dragon. And now we have to do it. It's not even a real thing now. Yeah. But yeah, I would assume that means that's Dragon Lee's official graduation to the main roster, though.
Yeah, because
he's
done everything he can do in NXT, and they've got a ready-made situation for him over on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Well, he's already been on SmackDown a couple of times.
Yeah. Right. So.
Yeah, I don't think he was even supposed to win that thing anyway, because Wes
I was going
to
say.
Yeah, Wes was supposed to win that with Dominic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Wes getting injured, I think, threw a kink into Dragon Lee's
play. And if the plan was for Oba to take this thing the whole time, I'm kind of glad it wasn't Wesley, because I love Wesley.
Yeah, same
here.
That wouldn't have made sense. They would have put a transitional champ, because Wesley losing has to break your heart. Dragon Lee losing, it's just like, okay.
Yeah, and Wesley, going out the way he did, broke my heart enough to see him lose to a dude like Oba. Because look at the size difference. It's just big. An absolute slaughter.
But you know, the thing is, Wes would have bumped for him.
Oh my God, yeah. Now, and I'm as long as Wes comes back healthy, which is the main most important thing, I could see those two making really good money together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, I think we can call the go home there. But before we get out of here, I want to promote something, because as soon as we are done recording here, we are getting together with our buddy EJ. We're doing Rob and I have been getting together with EJ now for the last couple months, doing little watch-alongs on the Earnestly Speaking podcast. And I want you to look that up, not only on Twitter, the app formerly known as Twitter. Look it up on YouTube. Ernest puts the puts the videos up there. It's a great little fun thing that we do. We do what he calls the Wrestling Retrospective Podcast. It's part of his Earnestly Speaking Podcast media that he does. And we go on there and we do watch-alongs of old classic WWE late 80s, early 90s matches. Tonight, we have being that it's Royal Rumble season, Rob picked out a special Royal Rumble to him personally. We're going to do a watch along. Jason, do you know why he picked this Royal Rumble?
I think he knew the winner.
Yeah, well, we know the winner. If you want to find out why Rob chose this one, go check it out. It is, again, look it up on YouTube. Look up Earnestly Speaking. It's EJ. It'll be me, Rob, and Jason. We are watching the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble match with Ernest tonight, as soon as we're done recording this. Anyway, I'm going to go back around the room here and thank my co-host, first from the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob. Fun show tonight, man. This was fun.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure, sir. And Bucky's tag team partner, Jason. Good show, bud.
Awesome show, boys.
All right. And again, I am DJ, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here till next week.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.